Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello, everybody. Hi, how are you?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Are you
really
all here
glad
for
you're
us?
Here.
Wow. Or you just wandered into the wrong room?
We should introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Sweeney.
I'm Jesse Gaskell.
We're writers on The Conan Show.
We are. And this is Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Yeah, and we're glad you clapped for that. Because we're like, who's going to be in the crowd? You know, we're really excited you're here. And we're excited to be in Montreal.
We are.
Yeah. Excited to be in these chairs. Very comfortable.
It's all very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. So just to explain our show for anyone who hasn't listened before, we basically take you behind the scenes of how we make Conan, a late night show. It's, as far as I know, the only podcast that does that.
Or wants to do it.
Yeah.
They offered it to 20 other people before we said yes.
I like to say that it's like Studio 60, but funnier. Or like 30 Rock, but less funny.
Somewhere in the
right,
middle.
That's kind of our sweet spot.
Studio 60, man, that brings me back. I could talk about that show for hours and hours and hours.
Well, get your own podcast.
Just let me talk about it.
Is this your first time in Montreal?
My first time in Montreal and in Quebec. How about you?
Same here.
How many of you are from Quebec? All right. Very nice. Very good. I was worried about
coming
back here.
It's a nice crowd, I can tell.
Very nice. I was worried about coming back here because, speaking of Conan, in 2004, he did a week of shows in Toronto, and they were great. But we brought a puppet with us called Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. And his idea was to go to Quebec City and make jokes about the separatist movement. And we were all like, we're all Americans in New York. Like, oh yeah, what could go wrong with that? So we unleashed him. He did it. We showed it to the crowd. The week was going great. And we showed it to the crowd on Thursday. It killed with the crowd in Toronto. And then we're like, this is fantastic. And then we forgot that it would be broadcast on television. And people were really angry.
You said that they were tabloids at the airport when
with
Robert Smigel
Robert
left.
Smigel is the voice of Triumph, leaving town and holding the puppet up. And that was the front page. And also, I think people condemned the puppet in Parliament.
Oh my God.
Yes.
That sounds like a great honor.
Yes. That sounds like something our Congress would waste their time with. Not the Canadian Parliament.
You're supposed to be better.
Exactly.
It was really bad press. And I think, and you've gotten some dressing down by Canadians in the past.
I had a neighbor in Brooklyn who I dreaded seeing them because years later, every time I'd see her, she'd go, this woman was from Quebec, and she's like, my mother's still mad about the puppet. Like, I'm sorry. So let me apologize again if anyone here was offended.
Yes. If you came here to throw paint on us.
Yes. Thank you. I assume you accepted that apology. But anyway, so, it's great to be here in Quebec.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah. We just spent a week, last week, Conan was at Comic-Con in San Diego for the fifth year in a row, which is always a really fun time for us.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of sleep. We go out a lot.
Yeah.
The last night of Comic-Con actually was really crazy. We, the writers all rented this karaoke RV that I don't think is supposed to be street legal. It's basically an RV that's been outfitted with a karaoke machine and a bar. And we were just kind of like rolling around in it and trying to sing karaoke. And I have a vague memory of myself singing Shallow from Lady Gaga.
You're
that
sure
I really
vague.
Hope is not on tape anywhere.
And someone taped it. We should get that online. I would love to get
that.
Oh,
no. That
there might be rights issues for the song, though.
But, yeah. And then afterwards, I heard that, because Conan, we did our last show on Saturday night, and then Conan immediately, I think, left to go. Was he going with his family on vacation?
No, I think he had to do a gig somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he had to leave early.
But so he left Saturday night, but his hotel, he still had his hotel room for that Saturday. And so
Right. Somebody,
and I've been told to not name names, but somebody procured the key to his hotel room and invited the whole staff to have a party in Conan's hotel room.
Wow.
And from what I heard, the mini bar was raided pretty hard. And
that probably lasted 4 minutes. The
I know. And room service was ordered. And I just like the idea of whoever the hotel clerk was the next day thinking like, oh, that Conan really
knocks it back.
Yeah.
He loves tiny bottles of vodka.
Binges and purges. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, maybe in a future episode, we can talk about all the people who got fired for doing
that. Oh, no.
We'll keep you posted. So there could be openings at the show.
I didn't name names.
Yes. That was a great week of shows. I feel like that was the best week.
It was the best. Yeah. I think we all thought it might be our last week there.
Yeah.
Just because who knows when we're all going to die.
Right. Right. I mean, this could be our last podcast.
It could. So let's have fun
right. With
it.
Yeah.
Should we bring on our first guest?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. So we've got Brian Kiley here.
Brian Kiley is a writer on our show.
Right.
Come on up, Brian.
Give him an applause.
Yeah, throw this down. Yeah.
Brian has been a monologue writer for Conan for 25 years.
Since 1994.
Don't look ashamed.
Yeah. It seems 6 months before I was hired. No one lasts at that show. By the way, thanks for dressing much, much better than me.
Thanks.
I really appreciate it.
I have somewhere to go after this.
I'll tell you that's not hard to do.
I know. I'm a slob. But you have.
Thanks for having me, because I don't get to talk to you guys except every day.
Every day, yeah. So,
but we always have mics, just so.
That's true. We're in the meetings with mics.
Brian, how's your day going? Well, mine's good. Yeah, so Brian is a monologue writer on the show.
And I would like to point out that my mom was from Montreal.
Oh, very nice. All right.
Outremont, I guess, but my pronunciation is terrible. But.
Brian teaches a class in pandering.
Yes.
Yes, I do. And you guys would be great at it. How's that?
That was perfect.
Thank you.
I think that also helps to make up for the triumph thing.
Yes. If we had announced in the Canadian Parliament,
right.
Terrible. Okay.
So no, we heard you were here at the Just for Laughs Festival. So what a fantastic booking.
Yeah.
How did you get me?
Right.
But you've really been with the show since the beginning. You've seen it.
Well, I started 6 months
change.
In. Yes. I had,
yeah.
Yes. A lot. Yes.
Yikes.
Conan's voice changed.
Yeah.
Second
finally,
year of the show.
Yeah.
Changed is a relative term. Slightly
he won't hear this, right?
Right.
And I just learned something from Sweeney that when you first were hired, you lived in Boston.
I did.
And
yes.
You commuted to work.
I did. Well, my wife had a much better job than I had.
Uh-huh.
And she was a VP
Wait,
of a
what's
company.
A better job than
she wrote
well, she
demo.
Was a VP of a company.
Okay.
And
that
so
is a better job.
Also, the Conan show was very shaky in the old days. And literally, I'd be reading the New York Post or the Daily News every day, and there were rumors about how the show is going off the air and who's going to replace Conan and all that stuff. So people are like, why don't you move here? It's like, because there might not be a here in a couple weeks, you know. And so my wife had a great job and I just would commute. But we had like 10 or 12 weeks off. And also they let me work from home 1 or 2 days a week.
Oh,
So that made a huge difference.
Oh, that's
good. I didn't know that was allowed.
Yeah. Well, I ruined it for everybody, I think.
So what was that? The first 6 months of the show, Conan took over for Letterman back in the old days when there were only three talk shows.
Yes.
Late night talk shows. And so that first 6 months, how could you even concentrate on work when, like, you open the paper that day and there are all these rumors?
Oh, there was one time the accountant came by and she's like, okay, you guys have a TV, you have two computers. And they go, she's taking inventory. We must be going off the air. And they had to call a meeting of the show and go, no, they take inventory once a year. We're not going off the air.
Oh, wow.
Like, my God. Yeah. So they
lied to
you.
She was putting price tags on things. Right.
I sold my computer on eBay. I didn't know.
Wow. So there are rumors just flying around the floor, just based on someone counting television sets.
Yes. It was that.
Sounds like relaxing.
And then at that time, it sounds like the schedule was really crazy because probably if you were all feeling a little insecure, it's late, a lot of late nights. And
well, I was lucky being on the mono because on the monologue, we didn't have to stay late. Although they would have me stay late Monday nights and work on like the desk pieces and whatever. So I do remember being there and it was like after midnight and we needed one more joke. And I came up with the joke so we could all leave. It was like homering to win the game in the bottom of the ninth. It was like, but it was something of like self-preservation of like, I really need to go to sleep. So please.
Now, our head writer, Matt O'Brien, he had this great idea. It's a little bell on his desk.
It's so weird.
It's weird.
It's Pavlovian.
It is. But get out at night. Like someone has to come up with a
There's always a closer for the night meeting. So if you do the closer, he'll ring the bell.
Yes, something gets a big laugh and he rings the bell. And then
everyone literally runs out of the room.
That's true.
And runs to their car.
You'll see like sometimes one of us will say something kind of funny and he'll sort of reach, but not quite get there.
He'll change his mind halfway. Right. Nah, that wasn't
very suggestive. We should have that here for this podcast. And so what are you up here? What brought you to the Justice?
I shot a web series with my friend Mary Gallagher and
she's a comedian.
She's a comedian and she's an actor also.
Uh-huh.
So we shot this thing and then it got picked to come here to pitch for the short panel for web series.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Great. So that was kind of cool. So
Finally trying to get another job.
Oh, thanks. It's like the bell rang, I feel.
Yeah. Would you
end? So you're finally trying to get another job?
Yes. I mean, I've been trying for 25 years.
and so you pitched it already?
We did, yeah.
Wow. So is it just like a private meeting or something? Or I read some things where they have...
No, this was a pitch this was like a public pitch.
Really?
Yes, there was an audience there.
Wow.
And then there were like executives and it was like, it was...
Wow.
Was it like America's Got Talent where they do the X?
Chairs turn around.
It was kind of like that. And then Simon Cowell was there for some reason.
He's also pitching a show.
He's on the way back.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck with that. So
well, thanks.
I guess you have to wait a while to hear what happens. But
Here's the thing about show business. nothing happens. You keep waiting for something to happen. And nothing happens.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what keeps you in show business.
Sure.
It's always like...
You pitch and it's just this void and then...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but you obviously must love working with Conan if you've been there as long as you have.
Sure. No. I do actually. It's it's really fun. And I mean, it's gotten less stressful, I think. Don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, now the show's a half an hour. I mean,
now the show's a half an hour.
A lot of people say, oh, is it a lot different? But really, I feel like all we did was they got rid of the second guest.
Yeah.
But well, we'll get meetings and we'll write the jokes all day. And then we have the meeting. We don't have time for a monologue. It's like, what? they'll do the monologue and it goes well. And they go, the guest went long. So we cut out the monologue.
Right.
Like, right. After the show.
Like, I don't know that I still work at the show, actually.
Well, you've talked about that with us before, that it's a real volume business being a monologue writer, and you have to just,
you have to churn it out.
Have anything be too precious.
Oh, no. Yeah. You can't be like, I love this. He's got to do it. You know, you have to just go, okay, it's, you just abandon them once you come up with them.
Yeah, I mean, people, I think, are always shocked to learn, but basically 1/10 of what you usually write.
1/10 would be, yeah.
Of the daily output of jokes.
Yes.
We'll get on
the It's like you're a sea turtle and you're laying all of your eggs. Yes. Right. And then only like a couple of them are going to make it to sea. And
it's, Conan is the bird that picks them off on the way to the water.
Yeah. I have 2 good jokes a day. So if I write 20 jokes, he'll pick 2.
Yeah.
And if I write 50 jokes, he'll pick 2.
Oh.
So that's
I would write 5 jokes.
So you should only write 20. Yeah,
I should just write 2.
And yeah, exactly. And you and Lori Kilmartin.
Yes, it's just down to Lori Kilmartin.
Who's also, it's interesting that you two both still actively do stand-up all the time too, which
amazes me. She does more stand-up than anyone in the world.
She does a lot.
And she takes care of her mom and her son.
Right.
And my theory is there's like 6 Lori Kilmartins.
Right, right. And you ignore your family. So, exactly. I mean, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Feedback.
You're doing stand-up while you're here in Montreal, right?
I am. I'm doing Andy Kindler's show tonight.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so at midnight. So.
Oh, okay.
I've got like 3 naps after this.
Well, you do. You're a regular napper.
I am a regular napper.
Can you tell us about your nap schedule?
Well, I get migraines is one of my things.
Yeah. But wait,
that's one of your things, like a hobby.
Yeah. I thought that would kind of be interesting to get migraines.
So. When did you start getting your migraines?
I started getting them probably, I was probably at the show around 6 years and I started getting migraines. And I didn't get them as a kid. I was like in my late 30s and I started getting migraines. And I went to the doctor and I thought there were a sinus headache. He's like, oh, you got migraines. So I have certain triggers like caffeine and chocolate, red wine.
Oh, all the good things.
Sex.
A fond memory. any experience of joy, whatever.
I've just realized that I've been with the show for 5 years.
You're one
so
more
next
year.
Next year, yep. I'll start getting my migraines.
At 6 years in, you get your migraines.
Yeah. So.
I got adult acne 6 years in.
Is that true?
Milder. Yeah. Sure. It's very stressful. Very stressful. Well, do you ever think like, oh, maybe this job is causing it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a trigger.
Oh, yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a certain amount of pressure for someone that says, go in that room and think of funny things every day. And some days, I don't really feel like it.
Right.
You know, get in there. So as a stand-up, like I'd write jokes every day, but some days I'm like, can't think of anything. And then I'd go do whatever. But here it's like, well, go think of something. So, yeah, there is that. And also, with the monologue, it's all about the news. So sometimes like tragedies are dominating the news. And,
right.
When I was first on the show, I was there for a couple months and everything was fine. And then there was the Oklahoma City bombing. And that was just dominated the news. That's all the papers were about. And so Conan had to come up and do a topical monologue. So, you know, in USA Today, they have the little state by state. And this is before the internet. That's how, like, we weren't even online.
Oh, yeah. Were you getting
newspapers?
We were getting
newspapers.
USA Today.
He'd come out with the USA Today and the state by state thing. So Conan would come out and be like, so, did you hear about this comptroller in Toledo, Ohio? And it was like, no, what are you talking about? You know, but we couldn't touch any of the big stories. So it was like, you know.
You're going to hear about them now.
Yes, exactly.
Well, we still kind of do that, don't you think? That we avoid some of the bigger, Trump-related stories.
So, I mean, I do think there's a little bit of Trump fatigue. And I think people feel like that sometimes. So when we don't have to talk about them, we don't.
Do you guys have Trump fatigue? Yeah. All right. So,
and I think the audience went, it's like, oh, thank God. But
We want to talk about the chicken nuggets that are returned on the highway.
Yeah. Whenever like the McRib was back, that was like a big story. McRib's back, guys. That's fantastic. Yeah.
That was a renaissance for the show.
Where does it go when it goes away?
I don't know. I guess I think there's a room with shamrock shakes and McRibs, and they seal it.
And they vault it up.
Yeah.
It's better than Trump jokes.
Sure.
No, there were nights where like 4 or 5 shows do the same joke.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there's all these people in a room like dealing with the Trump story du jour. And it's.
But that's happened for years. I remember when I was first on the show, we did a joke that Letterman and Leno, we all did. It was a joke. It was Madonna's birthday. And the joke was, what do you get for the woman who's had everyone? And every show did that joke.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happens a lot, that there's kind of groupthink.
Absolutely. And actually, yeah. When they were used to be four monologue writers, we'd come to the meeting and sometimes all four of us would have the same joke. Oh, and sometimes I wouldn't and everyone else would not be like, why didn't I think of that? You
know? And Conan got to say no four times. No, 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 no. Not doing it. I'm not. We're out of time already.
Yeah, we are.
For Brian. Yes, we have two more guests.
We do.
Yeah. We're plowing through it.
And thanks so much for having
me. Yeah, thank you, Brian. I hope you sell your show.
Thanks for coming. Brian Kiley, ladies and gentlemen.
Kiley.
Beautifully dressed. Whoa.
We're.
Thank you. Applause is not a
writers.
Trigger
we're very
for Brian.
Clumsy.
So lots of applause for Brian.
So next up, we have one of the stars of SNL, you guys.
I'm very excited.
It's Chris Redd.
Chris Redd.
Hey. Hey. Hello, people. All these shorts.
There are a lot
of podcast.
Shorts. Oh, Canadians are very comfortable with their bodies. I like that.
I like that too.
There.
I don't know why I said it with that tone, but I like that too. So gross. On accident. How are y'all?
Good. How are
good.
You?
Good to see you again.
Man, I'm awake.
Thanks for.
I didn't think I would be.
Did you go hard last night?
I go hard every night.
Okay.
All right. Well, I still can.
Yeah, 4 p.m. podcast.
Yeah. Why do we have it so early?
I know, man. Chill.
You just
and this
up.
Is one of the later ones. There was one at like 11:30 this yeah. morning.
What does that even look like?
I don't.
11:30.
Don't know. I don't know. But it was in this room.
Yeah. This is a nice conference room.
Yes, this is. I wanted to shit on it.
We can
it,
get a lot of work
nice.
Done in here.
Or like a casual seance.
Now, we have not left the building. Have you left this? Like the whole...
It's all just festival
yeah, festivals. Yeah,
festivals
all. Yeah. The entire building's a festival.
I've been to all the festival. I've been to all the mall. There's a mall here.
Oh, we right. did go to the mall.
Yeah.
It's like Snowpiercer here. It's
yeah. Like... I watched half of that movie. So it is like half of the mall is like that. Nah, it's cool.
Is this your first time at Just for Laughs?
No, I was New Faces in 2016.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, I was nervous and not confident. And and now I know everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm more broken. But no, I'm playing. I'm not. I am.
We were looking at the New Faces list for today.
Yeah.
And we were trying to imagine how that's got to be really nerve-wracking to
be. You're like, this 5 minutes could make my career
right.
or not.
Or it could just be another show.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where you have to get.
Yeah.
So,
for
you know.
Real. But no, it's like there's no way of being able to be comfortable enough with just like, oh, yeah, this is everybody in the industry in one room. This ain't no big deal. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Like, you still, you know. And then you do it, and it's like, when you do well, it's like, all right, cool. If you don't do well, fuck it. Can I say that?
Well, probably no
I
one's going to remember.
Huh?
Probably no one will remember unless you really, like, unless you shit your pants on stage or something.
Matter of fact, I think shitting your pants will get you a Netflix deal.
Oh.
Oh, that was amazing. So brave.
Well, let's try.
Nope, I already pooped. I say poop now. I'm getting older.
Yeah, yeah.
So you came here in 2016. We got to know you in 2017. Was that when you did stuff for us at Comic-Con?
Yeah. Me and Moses Storm, we called ourselves Red Storm because we're not creative. We hosted the the 360 digital broadcast for the Conan Con building, which was on a roof, and it was like 95 degrees and things were melting, and it was me and Moses cracking jokes. It was like okay, we're gonna send a bunch of celebrities up here. I'm like, up here where it's uncomfortable. I'm like, I wonder who wants to come up here. But then Conan came out there. Conan came every single day. He was only supposed to go one time just to see it.
But then he felt bad when he saw the conditions you were working
in. I think he felt like we were homeless. Yeah. but we just started riffing a bunch. And he was only supposed to say like a couple things. He ended up being up there for like 10 minutes. up until the show started. And then he would come up there every day, and that made it really cool. And then we did get to see some people come up there. Like Will Smith was in the building. He didn't come up there.
He doesn't go on roofs.
Just knowing
anymore.
He was in the building.
He did not. Will Smith was, it was the first time I saw somebody be famous and love every minute of it the way you think somebody,
right.
Like the way I think Will Smith would love being Will Smith, he does. And and it's so dope. It's, he's not cocky, but everybody's like, well, it's like, yeah. And it was like, the same, we were all here. And I was going up to Will, like, Will. And then I think his PR person stiff-armed me. Like, it was like, hey, what you want with Will? Like, not his soul.
Well,
that
sounds
more
Will,
like security.
Yeah.
Will can have fun and be nice because he has his security to keep people away from him. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. But no, it was really fun, man. It was so long ago. I know we had some people up there for sure. I don't remember who we had up there. Conan was like the biggest. I just wanted to riff with Conan, and I was able to do that every day. So everything else was easy. And then we just had to perform around this 360 camera a bunch, which was weird. It was all like a fisheye view. It was like a Missy Elliott video the whole time. But yeah, also that's creative.
I think that was like new AT&T technology. Right. Yeah. So I think maybe they shelved that since then.
Did they shelve the 360?
I don't think the 360.
I mean, it's so weird. Like, it was a weird thought to be like, oh, you can see things, but also the ground. Like, why do you care where we're standing on?
You can stare into the sun if you want. You can just turn wherever you... Also, you had to wear cardboard glasses. Like, that kind of undercut how cool the technology is.
Yeah, you're wearing cardboard glasses, so you're seeing nothing but cardboard. No, were they cardboard for real?
I think so.
Those are the ones they gave out. I mean, you can get nicer.
They
got
cardboard glasses.
That's right.
That's
yeah.
That's fun.
So
yeah, I didn't get any cardboard glasses.
I looked for footage of that before this, and it's been cleaned from the internet.
Oh yeah, it's like The Giver, the book. It just burned that. You would never.
Did your managers do that? Did they have
No, they were just called the people. I mean, I liked it. I wanted to rewatch it, but you have to watch like the whole broadcast. They didn't have.
Right, because it was streaming. It was just constant.
Yeah, it was constant.
You were having to perform constantly.
Yeah.
We felt bad because we just knew, like, we're in this air-conditioned theater, and you know that occasionally it's
we were like, we should go check on them.
You guys out there just broiling.
But we're not going to.
Yeah, it got like 98 degrees at one point, and the sun was like, there was some shade, but the sun was setting at just the right place where we were just getting beamed. And I'm sure there's footage of at least an hour of us going, dog, it's so hot, bro. Like, no jokes at all, just sweat. And I was just like, yo, how much they paying us? It was fun, man. Like, and once we got inside and we got to really, like, talk to, like, some of the crowd, because the crowds are crazy for those
shows.
They
are crazy.
Yeah. They're amazing. And
they
so,
are rabid.
That was super dope. And once I went inside and downstairs, out in the front where all the people and all the stars coming in, and we just got to like just play games with people and give away stuff. I didn't want to go back to the roof. I was like, no, I don't want to go. Please don't make me go back up there.
How do we find you for hosting that?
Me and Moses were doing shows together LA. Yeah, a Red Storm show, which basically we just both do duo stand up, have a lineup, and then we do some sketches and stuff.
I think JP Buck, our
JP
booker.
Yeah, and JP scouted me like Russell Simmons. This is not the crowd for a Russell Simmons show.
it's
gonna kill when I bring it back to my cousins who know hip hop. They go like, I see what you said, bro. JP was just standing in the back, you know what I mean, like them, you know.
Yeah.
And he brought us in. I love JP, man. And we kind of just worked out a deal. We got to just host this thing. And me and Moses were definitely down, you know, big Conan fans.
Right.
And so, the second they offered it, I was like, hell yeah, let's do that.
Oh, great. And then a month later, you got SNL, which was right about, that's what I thought.
Not a month.
Okay, just play along.
Honestly, the second I walked off that roof, I landed in SNL.
Will Smith saw you get stiff-armed and said, that guy should be in it.
He's like,
Lorne Michaels was watching all the 360
Lorne Michaels honestly
footage.
Was on the roof.
With his glasses.
And helicopter. And he was like, come on, kid. And then that was it.
Right.
No, it was like, it was a few months after.
Yeah.
But that was one of the things I was hated I was going to be missing out on is coming back and working with Conan.
Right.
And Moses and them all the time. But, you know,
I think it worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Now, let me ask you this. Performing here as a new face in 2016, did that, just going through that firmament, did that kind of help a little bit when you auditioned for SNL, or was it still?
Doing showcases like this big, like that definitely helps you get more comfortable just showcasing on those high pressure levels.
Right, I would
sure.
guess.
Yeah, because like once you do that, you just realize, oh, I just got to just do the thing I'm always doing
right.
anyway, and then I just got closer into being more comfortable, just
right.
always like. You know, you can trust yourself more than anything else.
Right, right.
So it's like, as long as I know what I'm going to do, you know, however it plays out, I'm still going to be doing what I do it.
But right.
It, so.
But isn't the Saturday Night Live audition like in front of a really small group of people? Or
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
it's a bunch of ghosts.
Unusual.
And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's like the producers and knowing everybody right. and you're performing on the stage and had never seen the stage in person. So wow. I'm like, oh, what? So I was like, oh, I'm ready for this. And I walked in the room and I was like, oh, man, whoa, this is crazy. And they're like in the shadows. So you don't really see them, which is preferred. I don't want to like tell a joke and then have to look dead in somebody's eyes. Like, do you agree? That seems terrible. Like. Right, you're laughing, aren't you? But I had fun, man. You know, I just got my mic and just did my thing. And both times, the one time I didn't get it, I had fun auditioning. When I didn't get it, that wasn't as fun. but then the second audition was, I had way more fun. It was way looser, and then I got it, and that's fun as hell.
Man, yeah.
To when you win.
But it's also nice to hear. I mean, I think sometimes people don't realize that like often you audition multiple times before you get hired somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't just happen magically.
Yeah. A lot of the times you audition and you don't get it and then you're at home and you have to watch somebody who got it. And that's crazy because I've never went like for a job at TJ Maxx and didn't get it. I had to go back and see the dude who I was
so
folding
bitter.
The clothes I was supposed to fold.
Yeah.
Like, damn, he does fold them tight, bro. Yeah, but it was cool though, man. Like it's I don't know. Like audition is hard, but it's also like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck my point is my point is like it's cool. I never fret about auditioning because it's like if I'm gonna get it, if it's for me, it's for me. If
right.
it's not, at least you get better at fucking
right.
studying shit.
That
right.
sounds very helpful.
I am prolific.
And when you got hired on SNL, did Conan give you any advice? Because he worked there a long time ago.
No.
Did he ever talk? I mean,
he talked to me a little bit before the audition, and when I started there, I kind of just wanted to see it for myself. I knew a lot of people who did the job, and everybody kind of like gave me a little 2 cents here and there. But it was really just kind of like you have to go through that first year and just, you know, everybody understands what you're talking about when you call them an issue.
Yeah.
I remember like I was stressed out. I had been there 2 months and I called Andy Samberg and I was like, Andy, I gotta talk to you, man. Like, this is crazy. And he's like, how long have you been there? I'm like, 2 months. And he's like, for real, man? I'm like, all right, I'll hang up. I'm a piece of shit. And then it all worked out.
It's so just assume that it's going to be really hard for a while.
Yeah, it's a boot camp, man. It's like the best boot camp of all time. But it is a boot camp nonetheless. And so you're just getting adjusted. Everybody has to get adjusted to it. So you just gotta like know that. But
yeah, because the schedule's insane.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy.
Is it 2 weeks on and then 1 week off? But
It switches, but that's like the normal is like two weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, and 1 week off, or sometimes 3 weeks
okay.
on, and then 1 week off, two, depending.
But during the weeks that you're on, can you walk us through what the schedule's like a little bit?
Yeah, Monday is like you pitch to the host, and then Tuesday, we're all in a room, we're just like throwing pitches at this famous person, and then and they're like, what is going on? And then the next day we they walked them around, and we pitched the either the idea that we pitched before, or like a real idea, and they see if they like it and they want to do it, and then if they do it, we start writing it, and then Wednesday, and that writer's night lasts all night. And
that's
then,
Tuesday night, right?
That's Tuesday.
Everyone's up all night.
Yeah. Then Wednesday, you got to get in by 12, and then like you have the table read, and that's like 4 hours. And
that's like just a huge pile of scripts, right?
Yeah.
And they just work their way.
Yeah, it's like 40. Like
read
like,
them out loud.
Like 38 to 40 scripts.
And so if your script is towards the end of that 4 hours, like there's no way it's getting laughs.
Well, I mean, you don't know that. But you would think.
Yeah.
That exactly. And sometimes that. But sometimes you'd be surprised, man. Like, yeah. People be tired in this, and then you'll catch a haymaker funny script. Like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Wow.
So you just never know. You know what I mean? I've gotten some stuff I've written that had been like the last thing you heard.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I felt like it always depends on when the first a few times you get a sketch on the show where you're like, I want to be at the end so I can headline. You know what I mean? Right. And then
you become superstitious about
Yeah. And then it doesn't work again. And you're like, oh, shit. <Yeah.
laughs> Now, when you read the pile, does everyone, like each sketch, does everyone know who wrote it? Or is it kind of anonymous?
They put the names on there.
All right, okay. So everyone knows.
Just so you know who's failed.
Okay, exactly.
Or who's winning. No, they do put the names. It's so cool because you get to see how people like are stretching themselves. Like,
right.
Or you just, if you like their style, like you just mm-hmm. like looking forward to it. You know what I mean? It's cool to know who wrote things, but so you know who to compliment to.
Are people good laughers in that room, or are they kind of stingy with the laughs?
You know.
I've heard different.
Yeah, yeah, everybody has different takes on it. I still work there, so.
Enough said.
This isn't for broadcast.
That, you know, people laugh when they want to laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they don't want to laugh, they not.
That sounds so hard. Like at Conan, when we read pitches out loud, mm-hmm. the head writer reads the pitches, they're all anonymous.
It's anonymous.
Yeah. Right. So, and you don't find out until it's getting produced.
Like that's a residue of him working at SNL.
I bet it is.
Oh, it probably
yeah.
is.
I bet it is.
Everybody that leaves this place has something they do in their jobs now where it's like, I do this because I had to do it there.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I don't want
to
do
like
it.
There's like trauma, PTSD.
Yeah.
That's good though. You know what I mean? That's a fun way to do it. I mean, I like knowing who wrote stuff though.
No, that you really have that sounds a lot harder.
You have to be accountable. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
You can't send some of the bullshit pitches that I send in.
Yeah. Well, it's just it just only sucks when it's like your sketch is bombing and there's like six more pages left. And you're just like looking at people like, I'm so sorry, guys. Can we just all agree this is trash?
Does anyone ever do that? Just okay, just stop. No.
No, you can't do that. You just gotta trudge along.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Yes. It builds character.
It's good for it's like you're young, you have it in you now, and then
then you get old and you die.
Yeah, exactly.
So just calling back your joke.
Okay. That's right. We could die any day.
Any day.
Yeah.
Chris, I want to ask if you're ever like, are there any celebrities that you're rooting to be in the news, or like politicians that you're kind of hoping have a longer career because you want to be able to play them?
Oh, that's a good question. Not nobody I'm rooting for. No, like, please do something. I can always count on Kanye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fades away and then he's going to come back.
Yeah,
he's just cooking
something
up. He's
strategic about
how
he decides to disrupt the world.
Pretty reliable.
And I like that. I really want Wesley Snipes to just do something.
Oh.
I would just love Wesley to come just do something.
Yeah.
You know, they're making a new Blade and it's not Wesley.
I want to
know what Wesley feels about this.
Yeah.
He'll have a cameo where he'll play, Blade.
Oh, he'll play old Blade?
Yeah, exactly. Old Blade.
Old Blade.
I did my taxes this time.
Dull Blade.
is he not allowed to live in the U.S. anymore? Like, what? Wasn't he not allowed to come back for a long time?
He could be here.
Oh, he might be here.
I think he is in the wings.
Right.
No. I don't know if he wasn't allowed to come back. I think, I don't know what his deal is. Let me call him.
Does anyone here keep up on
Wesley? Does anybody know Wesley Snipes personally?
No.
Okay.
Alright. He was cool with it? What the fuck?
Who are you?
How do you know that? Yeah, he gave his blessing and everything. Is this Wesley Snipes PR person?
Wesley only sent his PR person
like, make sure they don't talk shit about me.
Meanwhile, Wesley doesn't have a telephone. All right, he's cool with it. Cool.
All right, great. Well, yeah, all right. I'm a research that though. You look like you know what you're talking about. But
I work for Marvel, by the way.
You work for Marvel? I feel like you shouldn't be saying that if you do.
That's not how they operate.
No, you can't just tell people that.
Well, Chris, our time is up with you.
Oh,
this
crazy.
It went by so fast. I know.
It did.
But we will all just be praying for Wesley Snipes.
You all should pray for Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. Chris Redd, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. That's great.
Yeah.
I hope he's enjoying his summer off from work.
I know, partying in Montreal.
Exactly, exactly. Well, we have one more guest.
We do, and she is a real Just for Laughs veteran, and a veteran of Conan.
Her seventh time up here.
She was a star of her own sitcom, mm-hmm. and it has a book coming out. We have a lot to talk to her about. Christella Alonso.
Big hand for her. Oh, she's right here.
What's up?
Thanks for being here.
Oh, you cool. know how to work that
look
chair.
Look how comfortable you are here.
Look at you. Know, like,
this is, I can tell you've been here for 3 weeks.
You said you've been here.
I've been here for like almost a month and I have 4 more days to go.
Wow.
I have been deported to Canada.
You're seeking asylum here.
I am. Please don't send me back.
But this is your seventh time at Just for Laughs?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah.
You lost count. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was saying...
You don't have a tattoo for every time you've been at Just for Laughs?
I'm going back in. JFL, actually, I keep track of it because I was saying I never got new faces. So I actually auditioned doing stand-up. I auditioned for new faces like 6-7 years in a row where I like was no longer a new face. Like at this point, they're like,
we know who you are,
you know? And I had, you know, when you're a comic coming up, you want new faces. There's certain things that you're like, I want this. If I get this, it's going to lead to this. And I didn't get new faces. And I thought, man, like, what do I do now? And then I want to say 2 years after I stopped trying, I got offered to do the Ethnic Show, which is so weird. There's a show called the Ethnic Show, which, you know, I'm just like, I've toured with JFL before and they do call people of color here like ethnics. And it seems so weird. Like I've heard people like, hey, you're ethnics. And I'm like, okay. But I did the Ethnic Show, like 6-7 years ago. And then I came back this year to host the Ethnic Show. So it's kind of been kind of cool to go from not having new faces.
Yeah, you leapfrogged
over
new faces.
Yeah, to like hosting the longest running show in the festival.
Oh, that's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And they still call it Ethnics.
It's still called Ethnics, excellent. Yes.
Well, maybe that'll be your next move.
What, trying to protest?
The Ethnic Show.
We are comedians of color.
Yeah, what would you think would be better?
How about just having a regular show?
Just the comedians.
Like,
show.
You know, it's weird because it's just like, well, she's funny for a Latina.
Right.
You know, it's like, she's got jokes, but you have to laugh in an accent. You know what I mean? It's, you know.
Good luck.
Yeah. And Christella, you've been appearing on Conan for a long time as well.
My first appearance on Conan was, I want to say, July 2012. That was the first time.
I believe
time.
You.
That
yeah.
sounds right.
That was the first time. I remember, like, it was my first late night set. I had never done late night, and I was so nervous. I had been doing stand-up about, at that point, about 10 years. And yeah. I had never tried to do like late night ever, because there was an old agent that I used to talk to that always said, you need to be ready when you have your first shot, because they'll always remember your first shot. So I never thought my set was ready for late night. So then I got the chance to submit. And at that point, I had been working on this stupid 5-minute set for so long. And I recorded it at my home club, which is Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. And I sent it in.
Woo! And anyone?
I was no. just like... And I was just, I'm like anti-pandering, like Brian, I don't, I'm like, but you know, I turned in my set and JP Buck called me. I want to say it was like maybe not even a week later. I was in Indianapolis at this hotel working the road. I was in my hotel. I had just bought one of those like dinner for one kind of meals at the store. I had microwaved it. I was eating it and I got the call. And I remember taking a picture of me just so pathetically in this hotel room that was just so nasty and stuff. And I'm like, this is the moment I found out I was going to be on Conan. And I got on it and I didn't get any notes. And JP told me to just do the set as I turned it in.
And you killed. I watched that set this morning, actually.
I was so nervous that I forgot my name.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was going to ask about that.
So I said goodnight. I'm like, goodnight. My name is Christelle Alonso. Like, I was so nervous.
I was going to ask about that, and I didn't want to embarrass you because it's obvious that that's what happens.
Oh,
it's so cute. Yeah.
It was so bad. Like, I was so like, bitch, what is your name? Like, I could not remember it. And I was just like, oh, And
I thought that was one last joke.
Just texted me, like, dude, how do you forget your name? You know? And I'm like, I was so nervous.
Well, especially after you've done so well that it's just like you just had one dismount left.
Only thing I had to do was remember my name.
Yeah.
That is the only thing. You get so nervous, you want to remember your bits as you're doing them. And then I'm like, at the end of the joke, I'm like, boom, done it. And then I'm like, who am I? Like, who am I? It's crazy.
I would think the scariest moment would be right before that curtain. Don't they put you right?
It's
that curtain.
So frightening.
It's like being at the top of the water slide, like one of those crazy water slides that go straight down.
It's really weird because also I was such a big fan of Conan that you don't want to disappoint him in a way. And like, I came up, I was a stand-up nerd my entire life. So when I was a kid, I wanted to do The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And the moment he retired and I was like 8 or something, I'm like, well, that's not going to happen.
You're like, who's going to replace him?
Now what?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And then I wanted to do Letterman. So I ended up doing panel with Letterman, I want to say the last month that he did the show.
Oh, wow.
And that was like iconic for me. But like Conan for me was always someone that I really respected as a comic and just as a person. Like, you know, and for me, there was just so much respect. When you respect someone, you want to do so well in front of them. And it's true that the moment where you like open the curtain, you don't know how it feels because you're just there and you're like, oh man, like I hope people laugh. And it was really nerve-wracking. And people, comics always ask me, because I had a good set, they're like, you know, do you have any tips for doing late night, especially Conan? And I always say, remember that you're performing for the people in that room, not at home.
Yeah.
So you got to actually make sure that the audience in that room gets you. Mm-hmm. The cameras, that you're never going to...
Don't worry about the cameras.
You're playing to no one then. Like, you got to make everybody in that room feel like that's special. And also, mm-hmm. I always tell people, I think it's exciting when you see a comic that's nervous or excited, show that they're nervous and excited.
Right.
Because it's a special moment. It's like when you see old clips of comics that are like doing... like Carson and stuff, you see their first time and you see that moment when they want to be called over to sit with Johnny.
Right.
And it's that thing where, you know, I was so happy and so excited and so nervous that you could see it in my face. And it was like the coolest thing ever. And after that, I mean, Conan was life changing for me.
Oh, really? Was that a big launching point for you?
I did my first set July 2012. And then I had just met a producer that wanted she wanted to talk to me about a TV show, but I didn't know that's what was doing. My agent said, hey, do you want to go meet with this woman, you know, to meet her? And I was like, I guess. And the next day I went and I had already told my agency how I had grown up and they thought my life story was interesting. So they're like, tomorrow you're going to meet this woman. Just repeat all the stories that you told us today, and we'll.
But
go
they didn't
with
want
that.
You to be nervous.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So I was like, okay, and I went and met her, and I told her the, like my life story, and then I told her that I was doing Conan. I did Conan, had a good set. She got my Conan clip and sent it to 20th Century Fox, who produced my TV show. They got on board with me. They sent it to the president of ABC at that moment. And that's how I got a development deal to get my TV show.
Wow.
It was from Conan.
Oh, my
wow,
God.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like, great.
And it's weird because comics
does,
always...
Does Conan know that? Because I feel like he should have cashed in on that.
I told him, but he's never used it. Like, I told him. I'm like... you know, it's funny because comics always say that there's that when you do late night, nothing ever comes of it. And I was like, I'm like proof that it does. Like, it was amazing. I thank Conan so much for everything because that set really, it changed my life. So every time that I had the chance to go on a show, I did because I always thought like I wouldn't have been there if it hadn't been for Conan. You know, and that's you were awesome. Talking to like Brian Kelly and Laurie Kilmartin. They do stand up and we see each other at the clubs. And it just felt so comfortable to actually see comics at the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had already known a lot of people from the crew for Conan because I had worked with them on other shows. So it was very familiar and very inviting. And I mean, seriously, Conan, for me, like that was it. Conan changed everything for me. Wow. So like for
that's
me...
Great.
Every time, Conan is one of the people I owe everything to. And JP, I mean, obviously, you know, he's the guy that allowed me to be on the show. And it's just so, it's so special, you know, it was that's, awesome.
Well, you also did a little bit of it yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like the fact that it took, you said 10 years
yeah.
of doing stand-up, because that's, I think, generally what people say it takes.
It takes 10 years to become an overnight
good.
Success. Yeah, definitely.
But that was like, you were at the point that then that you were ready for it all.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's weird because it's like, this is just really nerd stand-up talk, you guys. So like, I ended up doing Conan. I ended up doing college gigs. And the last year that I did colleges, I had booked 130 colleges from like August to May, which is a stupid amount. And I went on the road by myself just doing everything. And it just, it put me to this thing where I was doing colleges every night. I was doing an hour. So it's like an hour open mic. So then when I had done Conan, I was so ready to just go out and do everything because I had and
so you went from 5 minutes to an hour.
Well, I had already been doing time, but you know, like I made the jump from feature to headliner.
Yeah,
the 30 to 45 jump. You know what I mean? And then the 45 to hour, which is really like that was a big blessing because not a lot of people get to do that. You know?
Yeah, college you have to do an hour.
Dude, colleges. Dude,
how is college?
I did
touring?
The one of the worst colleges I ever did was I'm not gonna name it, but it was a community college. And I had to do a nooner. So that's like the stand-up during lunch.
Lunchtime.
A lot of colleges don't tell their students that there's going to be stand-up.
So they're just, it's like a cafeteria and they're eating lunch?
It's a cafetorium. Yes. That one was a cafetorium. So there was like a stage. And I remember that was one of the colleges where they didn't tell the students that I was going to do it. So they just like, everybody's studying. And then all of a sudden, the student comes up on stage and she's like, now we have comedy front. I felt like, what is going on? Everybody's mad because they're like, I'm paying tuition. Shut up. Like, you know.
Yeah.
They'd rather study than hear a comedian. That's what crazy college
is. It's so expensive. I mean, you know. And I remember there was a tour of elementary students at that college that day. And they're like, you know, they're going to come in during your lunch. So if you have any jokes about Little Mermaid or something, that would be dope. And I'm like, who has, like,
what?
Oh, my 5 Disney minutes for kids is real. Like, now I get to 9, you know? And then they also said, there's also a senior citizen home that's coming, that's touring at the same time.
Wow.
So
oh, no.
If you have any jokes for them. And I'm like, I hope they like Little Mermaid. And like, I did the hour. I did, actually, it was so brutal. But I was supposed to do an hour, and then at like 50, 51, I tried to get off stage, and they sent me back.
Oh, no.
And they're like, no, you still owe us 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And then lunch started. they had two shifts for lunch. The second shift started, and all of a sudden, you see these little kids come in, and you see these old people come in, and they get on the stage because that's how they get to the food. And the old people just stood in front of me and barricaded me from the audience. And they just kept looking at me with the microphone. And they're like, why are you yelling? We're right here. Like, that was the last time I ever did a nooner.
Wow.
Like, that was it. And after that, nothing. Like, you can do bad shows and you're like, been there, done that.
Right,
like,
yeah. Right.
You're so over
so
it.
So you hit your bottom that day. Yeah.
The worst college gig I ever heard was this comedian who told me this story. He was doing all these Midwest colleges, and he said it was going great. He had one more show to go. He's like, one more show, and then I'm going back to New York. It was a college in Iowa. They drive him, pick him up at night from the airport, and they're like, oh, you know, everyone's excited you're here. We made a mistake. We also booked the comedy show the same night we have boxing night. And he's like, boxing night? Like, what college has boxing? And he's like, so we're going to combine the two. So he's like, what are you talking about? So they drive him up to this gym. He said they go in the gym. There's like 2,000 students there. There's a boxing ring in the middle of the gym. He goes, you're going to go up in between bouts. And so he's like, are you kidding? So they start this boxing match. The one guy punches, knocks the other guy out. Like in the first round, there's blood
on the stage.
He said they're cleaning it up, and they bring the mic down, and a guy goes, all right, are you ready for your comic? And he had to perform to that crowd.
My friend did a college gig where there was an end of the school year carnival, and he was performing in an auditorium, and then the PA system, someone got on the PA system and said, the Build-A-Bear Workshop Factory is now open. And everyone in the audience got up and left. And then he had to do stand-up by himself to no one for like most of his set. And then they all came back with teddy bears.
With their bears.
To sit down and watch the rest of the show.
Like, I hope the bears were good laughers.
You should have had a Disney 5 minutes and they would have left. Wow.
Well, we actually have to wrap things up.
Holy cow. Okay.
I know, that went by so lightning
fast. It
went
really fast.
But we have some things to give away. Maybe you can help us, Christella.
I would love
would
it.
You mind?
Do we have any Conan fans in the audience?
Okay.
Great.
All right.
That's awesome.
You guys came to the right podcast.
Yeah, you're in the right place. Yeah. We've mentioned this on the show before. We recently discovered a giant vault of ties that our former wardrobe person was hoarding.
This guy's excited in the front row. I haven't been able to go for a job interview yet because I don't have a tie until tonight.
But we learned that our previous wardrobe person was buying $200, $300 ties and then like marking them and then putting them away and organizing them all. And they were never reused.
Conan wore them each
one
of these ties exactly once.
Yeah. So we have like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of ties.
It's around $250,000 worth of ties.
Which is insane. So this is like a premium giveaway.
Yes.
So we're going to give away some of those ties
right
now.
Now,
amazing.
Some of them, maybe they're a little outdated, but I don't know. And you know what? We went the extra mile. We looked up to see who was on the show.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So we have a date, so, and we know exactly who was on the show.
What's it say there? What
number? Here you go, guys.
That's a beautiful
tie. The beautiful floral print
right here.
Lovely.
And we'll start the bidding.
I know. $5. Who is it? $5?
This one, wait, should we make them guess who was on it? Or
I don't. I'm here all day.
We did that once before, and someone Googled it immediately. We told them the show number. They knew exactly. This show, when Conan hosted, had Holly Hunter, ooh, Natasha Lyonne, and the musician Robert Cray. And it's from... 2017. June 2017.
All right. Well, you know what? This guy's hand went up
this guy,
first.
Yeah,
I think you need this tie. And I think you should put it on right now because it matches
your
socks.
Yeah, it goes with your shirt.
Yeah.
It goes with your shirt.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh. So this episode, 1068, let's see, we had Carl Reiner. Ooh. Yeah, Nikki Glaser, and the musical guest, I assume, or maybe this is a comedian. If anyone can tell me what this person is, or people, then you win this. Pokey Lafarge.
Anybody?
No. Musician? I mean, you have a 50-50 chance.
This makes me feel bad for Pokey Lafarge.
Okay, we're going to go to that guy for a musician. Yeah.
This guy right here, yeah! By the way, we're including this little hanger, which will really help you resell it on eBay tomorrow. People notice that stuff in the photo and they go, okay. Now this one, we saved this one. This is from, 2013. That is vintage. And as you can see, it's made out of asbestos. I think it's Dago. Tom Hanks was the guest.
Wow.
And he gets two ties. No, how do we give this one away?
I don't know.
How about a woman?
Yeah. Sure. Christella, we'll leave it up to you.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Does anyone know the title of Christella's upcoming memoir?
No.
Including Christella.
Right. Yeah, how could we...
This woman back here, maybe? The one.
Whose suggestion was it to give it to a woman?
What about a woman?
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say, it was her idea.
You get the top.
No. Okay. But wait, there's more.
We have more
stuff.
Oh,
there's so much more. Is anyone here a fan of Sonam Obsession? Okay. So this is the actual. This is her Gigolo's mug. Has anyone seen the bit where she loses this mug and then Conan goes and tracks it? It might still have her DNA on it.
Yeah.
Or we don't know any. We don't know what kind of DNA. Yeah. Who is the most excited for this prize? I think we got
this,
right
this
here.
Guy over here.
I'm gonna say I think she is.
All right. Very nice. And then just to cover our tracks, we stole these from Jeff Ross's office. These are little poster cards with his name on the bottom.
Executive producer stationery.
Yeah. Now, you can pretend you're Jeff Ross.
You can write notes to people.
Exactly. Tell them they're fired.
You can write cease and desists on these.
Do whatever you want. Would you like? All right.
Great.
Here, pass them around. Don't hide.
And then... I'm going to give two more things that we were going to throw away. But these are...
Literally true.
These are based on Conan's sketches.
You can pretend you went to this tour.
These are real Conan sketches. And I'm going to go...
It's a tour shirt from Conan's... From the stand-up tour last year. All right, great. Congratulations. And we have some stickers if you want to...
Just come up and get the stickers.
Yeah. If you want to vandalize the hotel on your way out, you can put them up.
Well, Christella, thank you so much. Well, tell us the name of... What is the name of
your
memoir?
Oh, yeah, you have a memoir coming out, which we didn't get to talk about.
I know.
I wrote a book. It's called Music to My Ears. It's a mixtape memoir. So the whole book is like every chapter is one of my favorite songs. I break down why I like the song and I connect the story of my life to that song because I love music.
That's awesome.
Right. On October 8th. You can
all right, great.
Right.
Okay, and thank you just for last. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you so much for coming. Thank you.
We like you.
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Kevin Bartelt.
Engineered by Will Becton.
Mixed by Ryan Connor.
Supervising producer is Aaron Blaird.
Associate producer, Jen Samples. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross at Team Coco. and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
Ta-da!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.